Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are rolling into a cliffhanger in Congress as we find out the fate, potentially by tomorrow, of the infrastructure plan and whether or not it will pass the House and how that will impact, if at all, the $3.5 trillion bill, the Bernie budget that Joe Biden is trying to pass. Biden obviously getting nervous about the fate of his agenda on Capitol Hill as he decided not to travel on Wednesday to continue his vaccine mandate push. He was scheduled to be in Chicago. They took it off of his departure date. He now is inside of the West Wing meeting with all different sorts of Democrats on Capitol Hill. Most significantly, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona to figure out what they will be willing to support since there are no votes at all that can be lost under the budget reconciliation plan if that bill is going to pass. And Buck and I are going to talk about, as we move throughout the show and as we continue to get more and more details and data surrounding what might exactly happen there, what's the best outcome? Is it both bills failing? Is it for the infrastructure bill to pass, which may well guarantee that then the Bernie budget fails? All of this is going to be intriguing to follow. Speaking of the vaccine mandates, YouTube has announced they will begin to ban and censor anyone who is speaking out in a negative manner about the COVID vaccine. We'll discuss that. Afghanistan, the continuation of more and more failure as the generals are talking, Biden's lies becoming more apparent. We are going to be joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee in the third hour of this program. And then we'll be talking about the disaster down at the border with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. That is all on the agenda as we roll forward. But first, I want to play this clip, Buck, which is pretty fantastic. And I thought Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, continues to nail a lot of the different angles associated with COVID and governmental response. And he's asking a big question. We're seeing what's happening now in Australia, where basically there is no freedom. And Ron DeSantis asked a question, and it's a good one. It's a provocative one. Is Australia freer than China?
You guys look what's going on in Australia right now. You know, they're enforcing, after a year and a half, they're still enforcing lockdowns by the military. And that's not a free country. It's not a free country at all. In fact, I mean, I wonder why we would still, have the same diplomatic relations when they're doing that. I mean, is Australia freer than China, communist China right now? I don't know. The fact that that's even a question tells you something has gone dramatically off the rails.
Let's just think about some things that are true about Australia, Clay. Right now, you've got Sydney and Melbourne in lockdown. They've been in lockdown for months. The military's enforcing it. Police officers will give $3,000 plus fines for people being out of the radius, the allowable radius from their homes, being outside without a mask on, which we outside without a mask wearing outside is stupid. Even the CDC has admitted this. There is no reason, but they always leave this like, well, what if, you know, Fauci will say you're in close proximity or something. No, outside mask wearing is dumb. Everyone knows it. And yet they also have a curfew in place, 9 p.m. What, the virus goes to sleep? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Or doesn't go to sleep. It comes out late at night. It makes no sense at all. And yet Australia also has had more cases in the last 60 days than at any time. It's only got about 40%, 42% of the population vaccinated. And you know what they're saying? They're not going to go back to normal till 80% of the population is vaccinated. This is a country, let's just all be very clear, that has only had a few thousand deaths total from COVID. And yet they have been willing to live this way because they think the mitigation measures and not the fact that it's an island that cut off travel from the rest of the world is what has saved them. It's madness.
They gambled, Buck, that COVID zero was possible. And to be fair, this was what Fauci was saying was possible as recently as May. when Fauci came out and said, hey, we're going to be, I think, able to effectively eradicate this vaccine and, I mean, this virus in many ways thanks to the vaccine. And now it's clear that's not going to be the case. And if anything, everybody in Australia and New Zealand and all these countries that strictly locked down, Buck, they're sitting ducks because they have almost no natural immunity in those countries. And now there's a more dangerous variant in terms of its ability to spread, the Delta variant. And effectively, I think they're just going to have to throw up their hands and acknowledge in some way that their strategy is flawed.
So here's what I think you'll see. And note that Sweden, you never hear about Sweden anymore. Because Sweden is essentially going back to full normalcy. I mean, there's some things here and there, but Sweden is a very
Denmark
low COVID
deaths. Is it Denmark that announced basically they're done with all restrictions?
Yeah, I mean there are countries in Northern Europe that are making that move. But let's remember, to the point about Australia, New Zealand, even in Australia, this is interesting. I think Perth, which is like way out west by itself, one of the most remote major cities in the world, is effectively completely open because it has almost no COVID. And they think it's because they mask up so hard. It's like they don't have access to an atlas or to Google Earth and understand it's because you guys in Perth are in the middle of nowhere and you shut off all travel.
You're an island in a city in the middle of nowhere.
Like you could have COVID zero at your substation in Antarctica. You know, and so, yes, you can have it really limited in Perth. But the problem for Australia and some of these other countries is they're playing the timeline they're working with is going to be a problem because natural immunity, as we know, is more durable and higher in efficacy than the vaccinated kind. And so they're going to have to get boost. They're having a hard time rolling out the vaccine in Australia. They're going to have to get boosters and boosters. Look, Australia is just interesting, I think, for our purposes, because We think of it as, you know, England with nicer people and better weather. And it is East Germany with koalas. Like, this is what I keep saying. It's gone completely out of its mind. And there are people in this country for whom Australia is what we should have done and what we should do going forward, not just on COVID, but on climate and on other things.
If we didn't have, and I think it's important to keep hammering this home, because as frustrated as many people have been over the last 18 months, if we didn't have federalism in this country and if we didn't have Republican governors who had proven, because I mean, Buck, you have to look at the data now, right? You notice how Florida is starting to completely disappear again from the national media storyline. That's because cases in Florida have absolutely plummeted. And that has happened as we suggested it would, because it tends to be the case that COVID goes up in the summer because that's when people go inside in Florida because it's super hot. And they're all sitting around in the air conditioning. And that's what's likely to happen. But I'm looking at the most recent data. And the reason why I say this is significant is there's no real place in Australia where they can point out that there was no reason for what they did, right? Because if the whole country does the same thing, there's no sort of comparison where you can look at it and say, okay, well, this state did that and their results were this. This is why Florida has been such a threat to Democrats and the Biden administration for so long, because when they don't lock down and they have the ability to see already the cases plummeting, this is why Fauci, I think, was so upset with the college football crowds, because he said, oh, that COVID was going to feast. And instead, it has come roaring back down because there's no basis for it whatsoever to support.
How much is anyone actually hearing right now from the national corporate news media that the 14-day change in COVID cases is down almost 30%. So hold on a second. Is this because we're masking up so well now, or because people are talking about social distancing again? Or, you know, if someone's going to say, oh, it's because we have more and more people vaccinated. Oh, okay. So more people being vaccinated in July and August didn't have this effect, but now they're saying it does have the effect, right? It's, they always take the data to fit whatever the preferred narrative is. We've known this is seasonal for the last year because we saw what happened last summer. And as expected, you look at the COVID hotspots, it is moving north. It's moving toward the places in the country that are more of the, in the temperate band instead of the warmer Sun Belt and southeastern United States. So this is what's happening. It's not surprising. But what I think, the one that we have to see here is, who's right? The people who believe that this winter we're going to be pretty much okay because of a lot of natural immunity as well as a lot of vaccinations and boosters out there, or are we going to see pretty massive vaccine failure and the collapse of the entire Fauciite narrative, which they'll just replace with another one, by the way. They'll just say you didn't get the boosters fast enough, but it's going to be one or the other.
There's no doubt. And I think that's where you kind of look at the overall narrative here. And that's why I think they're waiting as long as they can to implement all of their restrictions and regulations. Because if they put them all in place right now, Buck, and we still have a surge in the fall and the winter, it's a clear indication that their entire strategy has failed. Now, you and I know that the entire strategy has failed, but it makes the narrative more difficult. They're going to keep creating an opportunity to just lock down harder. That's what they're going to try to convince us all. And again, as bad as it's been in the United States, I mean, it's amazing to me that a country like Australia has acceded to the authoritarian demands like we have seen them do. And it's an interesting idea to think about, Buck. But there are all these kids on college campuses now that are protesting, and they're demanding for the government to do more to them, which is something I've never really seen before. Like,
a lot of people want to be controlled. A lot of people actually prefer...
control us more.
Yeah, they prefer being told what to do with the false promise of freedom. If you look throughout human history, there are a lot of political movements, a lot of different political organizations and polities where the promise of, you know, being kept safe and warm is all that it takes, and people will go along with it and they'll do whatever and they just don't care. That's been the most disappointing thing for me about the response to COVID in this country. I thought we were more of like a, when push came to shove, a 70-30, I actually want freedom and to make my own choices country. We're like a 52-48 country on that, or I mean maybe 50-50. I mean we're right there.
And
half the country wants to be controlled.
And arguably the younger people want to be the control the most. Right? Because this is, sometimes people talk about how 2020 is a mirror image of 1968. The difference between like 1968 and now is the hippies and the anti-war movement were against most people in positions of power. Kids today are advocating for people in positions of power to be more powerful over them.
Oh, yes.
It's really a strange dynamic.
The movement, you know, the left has gone from being against the man to being the man. And
the
this
man.
Is where we are as a society. But, you know, a lower mortgage payment can make a noticeable difference on your budget. If there's a lower rate to be found, even half a point, you could be saving hundreds of dollars every month. It's as simple as refinancing to a lower rate. Think of how much that can help. Then pick up the phone and call American Financing. 800-777-8109. And do it now before rates get any higher. I mean it. You should not miss out on what's available now. I'm getting a loan right now as we speak from American Financing. You can get a free mortgage review yourself from American Financing right now, and they'll tell you if you can save, get this, Clay, up to $1,000 a month. They do it all over the phone.
$12,000 a year, Buck, for a 10-minute phone call. You need to put your financial house in order. All you have to do is call American Financing right now. I want you to pick up your phones. 800-777-8109. Don't put it off any longer. We're about to be in October. End of the year. You may have missed the budget with your family, spending more money than you anticipated. You know how expensive Christmas can be. Why not go ahead and save up to $12,000 right now? Rates have never been lower. Make the smart decision. 800-777-8109. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. It's Buck in NYC, Clay out in Nashville, Tennessee, and bringing you all the latest from everywhere across the country, around the world. We'll talk about Afghanistan in the second hour of the show. The generals testifying. The big takeaway from most folks is that Biden didn't remember, which is a plausible explanation for anything Biden is asked about. That's possible. Or he just lied to the American people about whether or not he was instructed by the generals to leave troops behind during the evacuation. So we'll get into some of that coming up here. But first, I mean, New York is on the very front lines of the vaccine mandate fight. And no surprise, the authoritarians of the collectivist left like Bill de Blasio, the worst mayor in America. I'm sorry, Los Angeles. I know you think you're able to compete with us on this one. And I know Portland's got something to say, too. But I think de Blasio is number one, the worst mayor in the United States. Worse than Lori Lightfoot, worse than Garcetti, you name it. And here he is coming up with a very de Blasio line, which is, wow, when you use the force of government to threaten and coerce people, they do the thing that you make them do.
The mandates have worked. John, I would say everybody out there, private sector, everyone should move to these mandates because they've been so strikingly effective. In the end, when it comes down to you have to choose, are you going to be able to keep that job, keep that paycheck, do the right thing, get vaccinated? The vast majority of people choose to get vaccinated.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, just think of this for a second, Clay.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if I put a gun to Buck's head and say, give me all your money, it's an effective way of taking his money. Correct. Wow. Wow, Bill. Good job.
This is wild. I mean, the fact, and I want to hit this date on Florida that I meant to hit last time, Buck, because I think it's significant as it ties into Australia and also to de Blasio saying, hey, this works. You're not going to see this or hear heard it talked about. This is according to the New York Times. Florida cases are down 57% over the past 14 days. The COVID rate in Florida, 41 other states have a higher COVID rate than Florida right now. Do you know what Florida did to make that happen, Buck? Nothing. They didn't change the way that they were taking and allowing people to live in that state. And the fact that they didn't do anything and the cases still plummeted. And by the way, the fact that the kids who didn't wear masks had a roughly equal or even lower rate of COVID infection than the kids that did wear masks. Again, you have to have comparable data in order to find out whether something works or not. So the New York people are going to say, oh, this is what happens. It's fantastic. The vaccine is, it works perfectly. But New York right now has a higher rate of COVID than Florida.
I just want to know, what did Ron DeSantis do to the state of Vermont? I mean, we should call DeSantis's office and say, sir, what did you do to Vermont, which has an almost 90% vaccinated rate and has highest level of cases in the month of September that it has ever had in the entire in the entire pandemic, folks. Not the highest in 3 months or 6 months or even a year. Since the beginning of this, we thought hospitals were going to be overwhelmed and we needed a million ventilators and everyone was, oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end. Vermont has more cases now than it did then. And of course, we all know it's Ron DeSantis' fault.
Yeah, and by the way, Buck, just some data here. As I look at it, the states that are increasing the most right now, blue states with Democratic governors. And all of a sudden, the story is disappearing as to what they're doing that's so wrong. I can't believe Ron DeSantis infected these people all over the country. Companies like Pure Talk blowing the cover on the expensive cell phone plans at Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. You could save $50 a month with Pure Talk Cellular, all while keeping your same phone number. It's exact same 5G network, exact same towers. You just save a bundle. All you have to do is flip out your SIM card and you can save a ton. Right now, Pure Talk has an unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month, all on the 5G network. My own son's first ever phone is a Pure Talk wireless phone. He loves it. Thousands and thousands of people have joined him as well. Lots of you listeners are doing it. How do you do it? 30-day risk-free guarantee, nothing to lose. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. One more time, grab your cell phone. You'll save 50% on your first month. #250, say Pure Talk. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Great Wednesday all over the country. About to roll into my favorite month of the year, October. We're going to be down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama this weekend. Ole Miss, Alabama. And Buck, you're getting blown up. People are so excited that you're going to experience the game.
All these people in media, people that have known me from listening on radio now for 10 years, they're sending me emails and direct messages saying, oh my gosh, you're going to have the best time ever. I can't believe you've never been to an SEC football game. So the build up here, some people are even saying like, I don't know, I got to ask the wife, like maybe I'll fly down and hang out with you guys. Everyone's very excited about this. I think they can live vicariously through someone who has never been to an SEC game. It's like I'll be discovering, you know, video games for the first time as a 10-year-old or something. Like
you never had pizza and you're about to have your first ever pizza. And people are like, oh, this,
they want to watch that pepperoni hit. They're like, oh, it's going to be amazing.
We're going to be, by the way, at the Ennis Free Pub. We're also doing the show together in Birmingham, which I know there's a lot of listeners in Birmingham that are excited. They did a giveaway. We're going to get to meet a lot of you. So it's going to be an awful lot of fun. And maybe by Friday, we will have a resolution on what's going on Capitol Hill. All sorts of drama surrounding what's going on with the infrastructure bill and with the budget bill. And there's been a debate on this since the summer about whether they were a paired tandem, whether they were going to be going together or not. And Nancy Pelosi, not happy this morning when she started to get her strategy question. Let's play cut nine. Oh, Nancy, the Speaker of the House, she ain't happy.
Why get mad at members? Why twist the arms of moderates if this is not going to move anywhere?
What are you talking about? We have a responsibility to uphold, to lift up the full faith and credit of the United States of America. That's what we have to do. These members have all voted for this last week. So if they're concerned about how it might be in an ad, it's already in an ad. It's already in that. So let us give every confidence, every step of the way that we will do that. We cannot predicate our actions in the House on what could happen in the Senate. I have no patience for people not voting for the
Ooh, Nancy getting a little spicy there all of a sudden. Look, she knows that this is not going according to plan so far. And it's pretty straightforward. The bill is too much money. It's $4.5 trillion. I mean, the break apart of the bill that everyone's been using as the reference of $1 trillion for infrastructure and $3.5 trillion for the spending, right? The Green New Deal. Oh, by the way, Clay, I'm still trying to find out what tree equity is. I know it's in the bill. I'm trying to find someone who explains what tree equity is.
I'm so sick of these trees being racist against each other. I mean, it's just, it infuriates me.
And Pelosi has to know at some level that there's nothing to be gained. If you're Manchin or Sinema, there's nothing to be gained by going along with the whole thing. So if they're being responsible, which we're talking about Democrats, so that's a big if, they're obviously not going to go along with the whole package. And why not break down the $3.5 trillion into component parts? We can see what's going on here. They're lying about things like it's going to cost zero. No one thinks it's going to cost. What does that even mean? You're spending $3.5 trillion, but there's no cost. No, it's going to cost the American people $3.5 trillion. You're just saying, I mean, rather the Democrats are promising it's only going to be rich people who pay for it. And just the massive bill that's over 2000 pages that no American reading this bill. No one knows what's in it except for the various special interests and all the different groups that cobble together the pieces of it and get their, you know, paid for lobbyist wined and dined members of Congress to put this in there. And then, you know, we have to pass it to find out what's in it. We all know that. That's the Democrats' favorite thing. I mean, Clay, if these are such good ideas, why aren't they taking it piece by piece and saying, let's spend $500 billion on this. Let's have a vote. Let's spend, you know, $50 billion on that. Let's have a vote. They try to do it all at once as a means of hiding in plain sight the socialist agenda of the Democrat Party. That's what's happening.
Let's go prediction time, right? Because kind of difficult to forecast exactly what's going to happen. Nancy Pelosi is saying she's going to have an infrastructure vote on Thursday. That's tomorrow. We already have it passed in the Senate. My prediction, Buck, I'm curious how you would analyze this. I think infrastructure passes. I think they will manage to get that through the House. And then I think once it passes, I think Joe Manchin, who, by the way, we invited on the radio program, senator from West Virginia, declined 30 seconds after they got our request.
What's up? I mean, were you a little surprised? Look, we know Fauci. Fauci's going to, you know, he's going to sleep at night. He's checking under the bed. Is Clay Travis under there? Is Buck Sexton in the closet waiting for me? He knows. He knows that that would be. Look, it would be a respectful interview, but we'd ask him real questions, which he doesn't usually get. Joe Manchin, I thought he'd at least give it some consideration.
So here's what I'm reading on that, Buck. I think what Joe Manchin wants to have happen is he wants the $1 trillion infrastructure to get passed. And then he's going to say, I'm not there for the $3.5 trillion. I want to put a pause on this entire budget process and see what the country looks like in 2022 as we come out of COVID. Do we need this stimulus? What does inflation do? I think he's going to be the dad, all right? The dad of the country. I think this is Joe Manchin's role. And he's going to sit there and look at it and say, okay, instead of trying to come up with the family budget right now, let's wait and see where the country is as we move into 2022. Because I do think he's very afraid, and I think it's a valid fear, that if we spend all of this money, the inflationary pressure that is already present is going to explode to an even greater degree if we do the $3.5 trillion on top of the COVID and the infrastructure.
You know who really doesn't like their gas prices being very high, their rent prices going up, their savings going down in value? People who work for a living and don't have a lot of assets, haven't already accumulated wealth. So, you know, if you're the senator from West Virginia, there are a lot of folks there who are just trying to make ends meet, trying to pay their mortgages or their rents.
The state that voted for Donald Trump more than any state in the union.
And yet, they all understand that if you're going to spend trillions of dollars and make the dollars that they're getting paid by their employers less and make their rent and their food and their gas costs go up, what exactly are they getting from this Biden administration? You start to look at the quid pro quo and you realize it's not a good deal for a lot of folks who probably voted for Biden last time around. By the way, Clay, I don't know if you saw this one. Gallup, as of today, Biden began his presidency, according to Gallup, folks. This isn't even like Rasmussen, which leans a little right. Or according to Gallup, Biden began his presidency with a 61% approval rating among independents. We're 8 months in, that approval rating among independents, 37%. Democrats are heading for midterm shellacking. They are heading for an absolute wipeout unless they can turn this ship around. And the only real mechanism they have other than the insurrection is this spending bill, something like this, where they pay off a lot of constituencies and spread around a lot of money.
I think the only way they don't get a tidal wave is if COVID basically goes to zero and then Joe Biden is able to argue, I solved COVID. I told you I would do it.
Right. What are the chances you and I are sitting here in June of 2022 and COVID is way, way down? Everyone's like, oh, COVID, it's not that big a deal. And then the serology testing comes out and shows 60-70% of America got COVID. And so all this stuff we're talking about, oh, we're going to like mitigate, we're going to mask, we're going to do all these things. Like, well, we actually just got to herd immunity, but we did it through the most painful, economically disastrous and depressing mechanisms possible because of Fauci.
I think there's a decent chance of that. I really do. And by the way, our buddy Mike Lindell, he invented MyPillow. They hooked us up with all of their great and incredible products, towel sets, slippers, robes, mattresses, you name it, including Giza sheets, which are absolutely phenomenal. I don't even like staying in a hotel room because they don't have the Giza Dream sheets. They are phenomenal. And right now you got them in multiple colors, styles, and sizes. And Buck, they got a heck of a deal for you.
For a limited time, folks, the Giza Dream sheets, get this, buy one, get one free. But you got to use promo code Clay and Buck. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on Radio Listener Specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets, buy one, get one free, with code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269. Again, that number is 800-792-3269, and find deep discounts on all other My products, too, when you're at the website. Go right now to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Specials, use promo code Buck for buy one, get one free Giza Dream Sheets. Thanks for rolling here with us on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We're going to be talking to you about this testimony up on Capitol Hill, the House Armed Services Committee, grilling some of the generals about the Afghan withdrawal debacle. Just remember, Biden administration's already trying to tell you it was actually amazing. It was a logistical feat. It was an accomplishment what they did there. This is what the Biden administration folks are trying to put out there. Remember what you saw? Remember what was going on? Oh, forget what your lying eyes tell you. It's what Biden's appointees want you to believe. That's what you're supposed to think. And also forget what you know about math. One of the things the Democrats have to contend with is that oftentimes their collectivist, big spending agenda runs into a problem with math and numbers. People see things, they say, hold on a second, that seems like a lot. And so how do they handle that? How do they explain away that $4.5 trillion? Remember, it was less than $1 trillion of Obama's stimulus spending that led to the Tea Party movement and concerns over the debt starting right around 2009, 2010, right? $1 trillion stimulus package. We're looking at $4.5 trillion in spending here. And so how do you explain that away? People like Sinema and Manchin and the Senate are saying, that seems like a lot of money. Pelosi explains it away by saying,
trillions, it's actually zero.
It's not about a dollar amount. The dollar amount, as the president said, is zero. This bill will be paid for.
The dollar amount, Clay. You believe it is $4.5 trillion, sir. The dollar amount is zero. How, can you make a bigger lie out of this than that?
No, and again, this just goes. We played yesterday Jen Psaki saying, whoever saying, we think it would be really unfair if businesses raised their prices as a result of their costs going up.
It's totally unfair, like so mean.
The lack of basic economic knowledge in the Democratic Party, it blows my mind. And it used to not be this way that one party, the Republicans, totally understood business, and the other party, the Democrats, are totally clueless. But that's where we've gotten to. And so this idea that you can take these trillions of dollars out of your pocket, out of my pocket, out of the pocket of many people listening to us right now, and it's not going to cost anything. No, no, no. That money that you're taking out of the private sector and bringing into the public sector is going to be distributed much less efficiently, and therefore the overall national growth rate is likely, I believe, to be worse. Not to mention, again, I think we need to keep coming back to the inflation elements that are going on right now, because they keep saying we're not going to raise taxes on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. But Buck, everyone out there who is making a salary, when inflation is going up 5% a year, the inflation is the tax. When you have to pay more for milk and bread and gas, and when you look at your pocketbook and you go out to eat for dinner, or you have to go buy school supplies for your kids, and it costs you way more than it otherwise would. I was in Arkansas recently, Buck, for that Texas-Arkansas game, and I went to a great barbecue place, Wright's Barbecue, and they have the entire cost of all their product on the wall written out. And I asked what's going on that they have these taped new prices on. And the owner said, well, our cost for product is higher.
Well, this is
so
like,
what do? We have to charge more for our barbecue.
We have, well, no, that's mean, Clay, as you remember. Jen Psaki says it's mean when businesses
How
have to actually deal with the costs. Because they're just, there's like magic, you know, magic elves that are making and bringing all the food and doing all this. It's not like they're human
beings.
It's
really like it's a money tree. Money grows on leaves.
My local grocery store has even had to have the same thing about the increase in price. They put up a little notice saying, look, sorry that the price of pork and red meat is so, you know, dramatically going up, but we're running a business and this is what the cost is, and we have to
pay
our staff and have our, and so those costs all do get passed on, but it's also a reminder that the Democrat focus is not on, you know, wealth creation is not actually zero sum, right? I mean, if you look at the average American today versus where human beings were 150 years ago, you would rather, from a pure quality of life and wealth, true wealth perspective, be a person, you know, who is essentially on state benefits today in America than be somebody who was living 100, 200 years ago. You're wealthier, in a better position.
Even.
And instead of focusing on allowing the American people to engage not only, of course, in the enjoyment of the fruits of their labors, but also wealth creation more broadly, the Democrat focus, the collectivist left wing focus, is always on the redistribution of the existing pie. That's why Obama would say things, even this was one of his, sometimes Obama said things where he really let the truth out more than he meant to. You know, he's going to raise taxes even if it hurt the economy in terms of growth, because why, Clay? It was the right thing to do. Punishing people and taking more from them because of political envy and the social pressure for the elites who don't really care about their tax rate, right? They're always wanting to raise the tax rate, and then they have an army of accountants saying, oh, but my guy's not going to pay that. It's because of the pressures they're on to, or the pressures they're under, rather, to make it seem like they're the elites in the Democrat Party are actually trying to fight for the working folks. Like, just listen to Joe Biden. He says working folks all the time.
Yeah, and it's just a fundamental misapprehension and misunderstanding of how business works. And so when you have, and people say, well, what are the consequences? When you have Jen Psaki coming out and saying it would be really unfair if businesses raised cost on their consumers, they don't understand how profit works or what the basic purpose of any business is, because most of them have been sucking on the teat of the federal government the whole time, which is the antithesis of a for-profit business. If you could just turn on the money spigot and get as much money for as much as you want, which is really what modern monetary theory is, which is what many Democrats have bought into, this idea that you can spend as much as you want and there are no consequences.
Right. Oh, no. It's spend as much as you want, Clay, and then manage the inflation. This is what the, as if governments could just be like, whoa, let's make that inflation go away. It's very hard. You look at the history of inflation in countries around, I mean, first of all, it can destroy not just a currency, but an entire, it can bring a country down with it.
To its knees.
It can bring a country to its knees, just create real civil unrest and social disorder. It's not easy to just take it and control it because you've already done it. You've already made the inflation happen. It's cause and effect. So MMT says, oh yeah, we'll just figure it out. We'll figure it out.
And it's going to end, I think, in a disastrous fashion. Now, maybe the Joe Manchins and the Kyrsten Sinemas of the world are going to keep this from happening. We'll talk more about the budget, YouTube censorship, vaccine mandate, and Afghanistan. All that coming your way in hour two. Keep hanging with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.